Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grace, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! Oh, mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU Podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
Hi, Grez.
And for some fucking reason, we're continuing to cover BattleBots Season 5.0, Weeks 9 and 10.
In the immortal words of Mr. John Bon Jovi, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer.
I mean, to be fair, at least the first battle's good.
Yeah, I'm just trying to use that quote to be like, right, we're nearly through this. And then the next time that we touch anything BattleBots related, it's going to be nothing but good. Because even the worst season of the reboot of BattleBots is still better than this.
Because it... Again, the actual product's great. The actual... when the robots start fighting, it's actually pretty good.
Why not just lead in with more of that?
It's almost like that's the thing you're actually trying to sell.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the BattleBots part of it, not the Comedy Central part of it.
I guess which bit has survived?
So we start off episode 9 with Minion versus Codebreaker.
So it is Drum Spinner versus Vertical Disc. And oh boy, does Minion get bitch slapped.
Oh, he gets punked out, man. Like, this is, I mean, you can clearly tell that, like, there has been upgrades to Minion since the pay-per-view all those moons ago. But for the most part, Minion has kind of remained the same robot. And I can't help but feel as if, like, it's still a bit outdated now. Like, the saw has been, like, upgraded, but that seems to be, like, one of the only things.
Yeah, it's just not quite all there.
Have it anymore?
Yeah.
All these younger, newer built robots are all just coming in and pretty much whipping the former champ.
And Codebreaker does whoop them. Because it keeps getting underneath and keeps getting... Okay, it's not doing absolutely devastating damage.
Mm-hmm. It's getting like the wheels and the underbelly, which is obviously very vital kind of hits.
And you can see as the tires just start to peel off.
Away. Yeah, because that's the thing with Minion. It's like they're not exactly like tires. They're like treads on metal wheels. So like the second that comes away, like the metal wheel is still there, but it doesn't really do very much because it's got no traction.
Yeah.
And then the disc and Minion also goes as this fight goes on. The wedge of Minion is all buckled. Near the end of the fight, like Codebreaker actually comes really close to flipping Minion over.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would have been obviously the death blow. We get the judge's decision, and like a former fight, that a previous fight even, if you will, this season, the judge's decision is 32-13 for Codebreaker. And those 13 points must have just been simpy points for Minion.
Yep.
Who, let's face it, done absolutely nothing in this fight.
No, it's... It looks tired.
Yeah.
So, throughout this episode, we get a bunch of actually interesting exploration of San Francisco. Because the one exploring it isn't Nepo Brother. It is Evil Cheese Wedge.
He's grown up and became an actual cheese wedge this time.
Yes. And he's actually exploring San Francisco. Unfortunately, doesn't make a cameo in The Room, which would have been filming around this time.
Oh, hey, Cheese Wedge.
I mean, to be fair, it probably would have been the most solid performer in that film.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What a twist would Evil Cheese Wedge have?
That it's secretly a human being.
Hmm. It turns out Evil Cheese Wedge was the one that was cheating with the missus.
Yep.
Or it was Evil Cheese Wedge that gave the girl's mum cancer, which was never mentioned again.
Yep.
I've got breast cancer.
I've got whale cancer.
Oh no.
So we were speaking about robots that look old and like they need to retire.
Oh dear.
Then we get to the Master.
Master.
As it faces Ankle Biter.
Yes. The newer and improved Ankle Biter that we seen just last week absolutely demolish El Diablo. So let's see how it fares against a robot that's been about for close to 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, this is horrible to watch. At first, the Master's kind of doing okay. Then Ankle Biter rips its blade off. But oh. Hey, it's still good. Then it rips its tire off. Then
like, it doesn't just rip the blade off, it rips like the whole bit of it off. It's not like it, if the saw just came off, it was one thing, but like it's like the saw and the motor for the saw and everything, like a lot of that flies off. And then like the funniest part is the shot where it just cuts to a different camera angle and it's just a saw driving along the ground. It just goes off in its own wee direction, off its own wee adventure in the battle box. Wee! There we go.
Yep. And then the end of this is Ankle Biter ramming the Master into the wall so hard it gets impaled!
There's, like, clearly after the saw got cut off, I think Ankle Biter was purposefully trying to snap the master in two, because it kept going in between the two big ball wheels, and I would bet you anything that they were 100% trying to snap that connecting like pole of metal between the two wheels and trying to snap that in two. But yeah, as you say, it goes for the next best thing and it just rams it as hard as it could into the wall, so much so that the master gets impaled. And it's like, it's impaled but also off the ground.
That's horrible, isn't it? No, I don't need to see that.
Oh, and the master, mercifully, has been put out of his misery.
And, yeah, and we get to watch the two worst interviewers in the world ask nothing relevant.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, is this not the interview that one of them does where they ask the ankle biter drivers, like, oh, did you feel offended by it because it was a phallic shape or something crap like that?
And keeps going back to it.
It's shaped like a penis. It's like a penis and balls. Like it's like between a guy's legs, it's penis and balls. It's like,
shut up.
His wheels look like balls. And the saw was the penis. Because then the driver of ankle biter the whole time was just like, no, I wasn't.
Yeah, the ankle biter guy's just like, go away.
It just like just kept like just dry. Just kept, no. Like I'm not up for your bullshit. Like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
We get a second Evil Cheese Wedge segment. And it's just it is the funny thing of, like, Cheese Wedge is just driving about. You just see people's faces as they turn around going, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. And then we get to our main event of episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's a middleweight match as Blade Runner tries to overcome Hazard.
Mm-hmm. It's got a new weapon. It doesn't have its usual spinning hammer weapon. It's got some kind of a veg.
Yep.
And for a brief second, it worked. It got in under the skirt of Hazard. And
then Hazard became Hazard.
It stopped the blade as well.
Yes!
And then Hazard went, alright, well, here, have one of these. A nice dink right to the butt, and then a nice dink right to the wheel, and just tore that thing straight off.
Oh, it's just...
And then... It was just like, well, not had enough yet. All right, I'll take the other wheel off. That's what you get for trying to create a weapon to try and stop me. Hail Hazard.
Yep. Though I have to say, when you make that particular joke, I do have to say now, we do not endorse Nazis, not even fictional Nazis.
I didn't say Hail Hydra.
He did now. So, anyway.
Johnny Smartass over here.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technoax spelled TekNoAxe.
We then get on to week 10 and we kick off with a yeeting match.
Let's get yeeting, son.
As Salad gets tossed around by Hexy Jr.
See, it's funny when we say it.
That's because we only say it once and then move on.
Mm-hmm. Also, so remember a few weeks ago when we done episodes 1 and 2 and I watched the wrong episode? This was the episode that I watched. I watched 1 and 10.
Yes. And
I heard this episode twice.
Oh, poor, I mean, poor Salad. I mean, genuinely, Salad, it becomes clear that they're screwed the second they get flipped over and can't self-right.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, it's upside down, the weapon is also compromised, but also because the weapon kind of drags on the floor as well. Like, its driving doesn't really work as well either. So when it's upside down, it just is very iffy. And so Hexy Jr. just and flip. There was one part where Hexy Jr. does just stop in the middle of the arena.
Yes.
And if Salad just left it, I feel like Hexy would have potentially been counted out, but he kind of bumped it, and then Hexy just goes, ah, I'm back, and flip.
Yeah, it was like, oh, sorry, I was having a nap. I was having the most beautiful dream. I wasn't watching BattleBots. So
I was having the most beautiful dream. I wasn't here.
So Salad manages to limp on long enough to get to the judges' decisions, but it's 32-13 for Hexy.
Yeah, it was smoking like throughout the match, and then another massive plume of smoke again as the match ends. Like, I think if this match went another like 20-30 seconds, like, it would have been dead to rights anyway.
So, what do we get now? Do we get a comedy segment? Do we get another match? No, we get
an old man in a robot house.
No, that's later. No, we get our highlight clips from a bunch of stuff that happened last year and the year before that. We basically get a bunch of holiday highlights.
Yeah, because we even see the Suicidal Tendencies team in their tank very briefly, and it's like, they weren't in this season.
Yep.
Then we get Old Man in his robot house. So they're doing all the Austin Powers style, like, and Austin Powers font, and the old guy's making sexual innuendos, even though he's about 7 billion years old, driving about in a robotic, like, armchair, and he's got, like, a robot butler and stuff like that. And then, like, he cuts back to the commentators and say, hey, you know the one thing that house doesn't have? A battle bot. And it's like, oh, okay, so that was completely pointless, because he's not even a competitor.
Yeah.
Anyway. We move on to Atomic Wedgie taking on Maximus in the super heavyweight division.
Oh boy. How is it Atomic Wedgie, as the robots got better, the performances have got worse?
Well, remember what I said about Minion last week? I feel like it can be said for Atomic Wedgie.
Mm-hmm.
It's as much as they try and improve it, I still feel like it's still the base robot from many moons ago. And newer robots coming in, and they're just taking out all the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's Maximus, big old pushy boy, and again, this is another one of these fights where, yeah, okay, pushing robot, blah, 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 but one of these few robots, and if you remember, when Maximus first came about, I just kept making fun of it because it was so bland and boring looking. But when a big pushy boy does a match like this, where it like uses just brute force and power to yeet,
it Goldbergs it.
Yeah, like the perfect definition of it. It just runs and tackles Atomic Wedgie, and it just bouncing off the actual plexiglass on the arena. It just gains that much speed. It just goes bang. It is, and it does it like about 3 or 4 times. It's insane. And considering the size and the weight of these robots as well, like, I would not want to be in the front row with Atomic Wedgie bouncing off the arena right in front of me. It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah, it is.
The only thing that I'll give as a critique to Maximilian himself, old Maximus, is it's very reckless at driving. It damages itself so much during this fight.
Oh, it does so much damage to itself, absolutely.
But the damage already been done to the Atomic Wedgie, as one side of the tracks is locked up. But this is the point where Maximilian again. Like, that was once a joke. It's Maximus. Okay, so Maximus just continues to drive over the Kelsaws, and it's just like it's back, one of his back wheels is like flapping. It like almost starts to use it as a weapon near the end of the fight, as it pushes Atomic Wedgie against the wall again, and the little flap is like coming around, it's like flap, 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 flap.
Yep.
But about 4 or 5 times it drove over the saws, and then there was a few times where it even just drove directly in Atomic Wedgie's weapon, and it's like, all right, like, you got all the power and speed in the world, but you do need to kind of be careful of your driving there a bit more.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Maximus does in the later rounds, because Atomic Wedgie is counted out and Maximus advances.
I'm actually just going to take a quick look. Well, we get to see its the rest of its matches, so that's something.
Okay, well, there we go.
So, Carlo Bertocchini is an interesting man who manages to make complicated matters seem simple. And is definitely someone who, I'll be perfectly honest, he's someone I'd love to have on the show, him and George Francis.
Oh, yeah.
How the fuck did BattleBots contrive to make a segment of him explaining stuff about robots boring? Because they mangled out-of-context bits of him just talking randomly.
Yeah, like, if this was just a full, like, 2-3 minute interview of him talking...
Oh, it'd be brilliant! I'd love it!
But instead, it keeps going to like, oh, here's Carlo Bertocchini on drilling a hole and then drilling another hole. Well, I drill this hole and then I move it an inch forward and then drill another hole. And then... cuts back, it's like, oh, this is Carlo. This and that and amazing people. And then he literally just essentially says that sentence.
How do you fuck this up? Still.
It makes him look stupid.
Yeah, and you're sitting there going, just why are you...
It's so mean as well, because there's no reason to make him look stupid, but it makes him look stupid because of the editing. He's just there talking about like how he goes about building robots and all the other kind of stuff that he does, but they edit it and make him look like an idiot. It's like so mean.
But hey. We get to see them fight Greenspan, which is a vert spinner. Is this the guy behind the Mad Catter team?
It looks like it.
I mean,
I'm gonna go back. Like, it does it give you the little? It does give you the little intros, doesn't it? Steve Brown? No, it's not Steve.
What?
Steve Brown? No, it looks like him. No, I'll give you that.
Yeah. So.
That's oh my god, his name's went out of my head. It'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, we'll move on to now, and I'll
unfortunately for Greenspan, this is Biohazard perfected.
Yeah.
They just have he's just got this robot down now.
Like, the thing is, like, it's interesting because of the fact that we've spoken about how some older robots are looking old now, but yet Biohazard is looking the exact same as he always did.
Yeah.
He's not changed at all, seemingly, and is not looking like an old robot in a new robots game like some of these other ones. And it goes to show, because it takes a few hits off of Greenspan, picks his opportunity, and then blam, when the timer's right, boom, over you go. And then it can't self-write because they don't have no self-writer, despite the fact that the commentators say, oh yeah, they were going to put a self-writer on it, but they didn't. And it's like, well, that's...
Well, why didn't they?
That's good. Yeah, just... Saying that you're going to do something, that's the best way to do it.
I mean...
Martin Mason. There you go. It came back to me. I was going to say, like, Mark Mason or something like that, but I knew Mark wasn't right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Biohazard wins. And we are halfway through this series. And who knows, they might actually start taking the tournament seriously at some point.
Yeah, because it always seems to be later on in the season when it starts to get somewhat important that they actually try to make it seem as if this is a competitive show.
Yeah.
So hopefully now that we're halfway through, maybe the second half might pick up in quality in terms of them, you know, not making jokes.
Oh, I don't think we'll get that lucky.
One can wish.
Upon a star.
Well, we've only got 10 episodes of this left, and then naturally we'll have our bonus episode of the unaired fights that are available on YouTube.
Yep.
At least there won't be any bad comedy in that, unless, you know.
Don't even joke about that.
It's alright, I've already been writing some skits that I think we should do between the matches. All that and more coming up when the Battlebot Season 5 continues.
Oh, I think Chris, that's over.